Thursday, May 23rd, 2019. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado. And if you are tired of the same old sports talk in your area, the same talk of arguments and the same subjects again and again, hang out here. You're going to like it a little bit better. We talk sports with a dose of common sense. We try to touch on a number of subjects, and we'd rather laugh at the sports world whenever we get the chance because a lot of it is actually funny. Hey, we are happy to have you here with us today. Happy Thursday to you. And while we're on the subject of May 23rd, we need to wish a happy birthday to one of the baddest dudes in the history of sports because Marvelous Marvin Hagler turns 65 years old today. How in the world is Marvin Hagler already 65? Now, Hagler actually reigned as the undisputed middleweight champion from 1980 to 1987. He made 12 defenses of that title, and he currently holds the highest knockout percentage of all undisputed middleweight champions at 78%. If you got into the ring with Marvin Hagler, there was a 78% chance, not that you'd lose, that you were going to get knocked out. That is insane. Also, Marvin Hagler holds the second longest unified championship reign in boxing history at 12 consecutive defenses. At 6 years and 7 months, his reign as undisputed middleweight champ is the second longest of the last century. He only trails Tony Zale, and he reigned back in World War II. But in 1982, annoyed that the network announcers were not calling him by his nickname, Marvelous Hagler, Marvin went and legally changed his name to Marvelous Marvin Hagler. Kind of a weird dude, but Hagler was a tough guy. He could take a punch and he would just keep coming at you. He hunted down opposing fighters like a shark. He was always in peak physical condition. You can look all you want. You will never find a fight where Marvin Hagler went into the ring and looked less than at perfect physical condition. He was always on top of his game. And pound for pound, you can put Hagler as one of the best fighters ever. And you're going to have a really, really tough time convincing me that he didn't beat Ray Leonard in 87. Because I watched that fight. Marvin Hagler won that fight. And if you go on YouTube and you search for his fight versus Tommy Hearns back in 86, hey, that might be the greatest fight ever. Just for pure entertainment and action, Hagler versus Hearns was as good as it got. But happy birthday to Marvin Hagler. I mean, Marvelous Marvin Hagler. I don't want to get him mad at me. Hey, if you'd like to contact the show, maybe tell us your favorite boxing nickname of all time. We would love to hear from you. Hit us up on email, dailydosesports@gmail.com, or reach out to us over on Twitter or Facebook. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. Maybe you have a suggestion. Maybe you have a comment. Maybe you have a question for us. Reach out to us. We would love to hear what you have to say. Also, be sure you stop by tpublic.com. Pick up some of that Daily Dose gear that we do have over there. We've got our standard Daily Dose gear. We've got our iTeam Daily Dose gear. Make sure you swing by tpublic.com and check out a number of items that are over there. Hey, we've got a lot to get to today. We do, of course, have a few sports news stories we need to talk about. And then, as we do on many Thursdays, we are going to be looking at some of the top sports media overreactions of the week. A number of crazy things that have been said by the sports media this last week. On Thursdays, we like to drill down just a little bit and see if what they're saying makes any sense whatsoever. But a couple things coming out in the world of breaking news that we should touch on. First off, Miami Heat assistant and former Michigan star Juwan Howard has officially been hired to become the next head coach of the Michigan Wolverines. Of course, their head coach, John Beilein, took the Cleveland Cavaliers job last week and left Michigan a little bit high and dry, and they had to go find someone fast. Howard met with Michigan officials earlier this week and became the front runner once Providence's Ed Cooley took his name out of consideration and announced he would be going back to Providence. Now, Juwan Howard is 46 years old. He was a member of Michigan's Fab Five recruiting class back in 91, and Howard did play 19 seasons in the NBA. He spent time with 8 different franchises. He won 2 NBA titles with the Miami Heat back in 2012 and 2013, and he was an All-Star in 1996. But since retiring, Juwan Howard has been coaching. He has been an assistant coach with the Miami Heat under Eric Spoelstra, and he has interviewed for a number of other NBA openings. He interviewed for the Cleveland Cavaliers job. He interviewed for the Minnesota job. And of course, we talked about a little bit here. He did interview for that crazy Los Angeles Lakers job as well. Now, I realize that Michigan is desperate. And I'm not saying that Juwan Howard can't have success. Maybe he comes out and he surprises everyone. The problem is that there just aren't a ton of candidates out there because everyone has already put together their coaching staff. They are now taking the offseason off. They are doing some recruiting stuff. But as far as hiring people, that stuff is done. Like everyone has already taken their musical chair seat and all the chairs are full. And now Michigan has been looking around saying, okay, well, who do we hire? We need someone to take this job. And it's not a small time job. We know Michigan is a big, big time job, but we don't know how Juwan Howard's going to do. I mean, really, we don't know if he can coach at all. I would think if he's been with Miami as long as he has, he knows something. He's not a dumb guy, but he has zero experience at the college level. Aside from, you know, about 5 minutes he spent in college, he doesn't know anything about the college game. Trust me, he doesn't know anything about recruiting. He had better go hire assistants that know how to do all those things because he's not going to know how to do that. He's been working at the NBA level. It is a completely different situation. But when we look at this, I mean, Michigan went out and yes, they wanted to get a Michigan guy. They always say that. We need a Michigan man. Do you? Or do you just need a really, really good coach? But Michigan is one of the worst schools at doing that. They always want to go get a Michigan guy. I mean, who else was even on their list of candidates? Were they going to go get Ray Jackson? Was Jimmy King next on the list? Hey, we couldn't find anybody else. Jimmy King's going to be taking over. I mean, just because they went to Michigan doesn't necessarily make them a qualified candidate. I mean, was Chris Webber going to be going to Michigan and taking over the coaching staff there? Or, I don't know, maybe they were just worried about him burning all of his timeouts right away.
Man, that's just mean.
I understand it if they were, but Michigan, they always want to get a Michigan man. Maybe they should have just went and got the right man. I would think you could have lured some of the top assistants away, but maybe that's just wishful thinking. One other story coming out in the NBA, and we didn't talk about it yesterday, maybe we should have. But, you know, Drake up at those Toronto Raptors games, yeah, it's getting annoying. And it's not just annoying everyone watching it at home. It's not just annoying all the Milwaukee Bucks fans. Apparently, Drake is also really annoying Giannis Antetokounmpo. And while we have seen Drake, you know, kind of rubbing people the wrong way and cheering when Giannis misses free throws and running around and laughing and just walking up and down the sideline like he's a coach, and we're all kind of getting annoyed with it, well, it sounds like Giannis has had about enough. A senior executive for Octagon, the agency that represents Antetokounmpo, tweeted on Wednesday that he has never seen anything as disrespectful as Drake's repeated trolling of Antetokounmpo and the Milwaukee Bucks during Game 4 on Tuesday night. Like we said, Drake was in full obnoxious mode on Tuesday night. We even saw him walk over to the Toronto huddle and give Raptors head coach Nick Nurse a massage. He was like rubbing his shoulders. It's really, really strange. And the thing I can't understand, why do NBA officials allow that kind of stuff to happen? If that was just an average person, if that was just some, you know, local yokel wandering up and down the sideline, you'd throw him out in a minute. It wouldn't even be close. Why is someone like Drake allowed to parade around on the sideline? That literally wouldn't be tolerated anywhere else. It's kind of like the whole Spike Lee thing, but Spike wasn't even this bad. At least Spike kind of stayed in his chair. You can't be walking up and down the sideline when players are right there in front of you playing. We don't need a Larry David incident where Shaquille O'Neal trips over his feet. It's just an ugly situation. Now, on Tuesday, Antetokounmpo scored 25 points, but he shot just 6 of 10 from the free throw line. And in fact, he even airballed a free throw. And he scored just 12 points in Milwaukee's double overtime loss in Game 3. So this is just kind of turning into bad blood. The series, of course, will resume tonight in Milwaukee for Game 5. But then Drake will get one more chance to taunt Giannis and the Bucks on Saturday night for Game 6. We'll see how that goes. I'm sure Drake is going to be even more annoying. You know, after seeing what I saw on Tuesday night with him giving massages and just jumping all around the sideline, I'm not sure I want to see what Drake does to Kawhi tonight in Game 6. That might get really, really ugly. Hey, coming back, we need to get to some sports media overreactions of the week. The Golden State Warriors made quick work of the Portland Trailblazers in those NBA Western Conference Finals, and of course, they are heading back to the NBA Finals for the fifth straight year. A number of crazy hot takes coming out about the Golden State Warriors we'll have to talk about. Plus, we actually have a bizarre take about one of the best quarterbacks in NFL history. Come to find out, apparently he wasn't as good as we think he was.
Just a quick reminder that if you have any shopping to do, maybe you have a birthday coming or an anniversary, or you just want to buy something for yourself. And don't forget that Father's Day is in June. You're going to want to head over to lootcrate.com/dailydose, where you can find all the latest pop culture collectibles that feature your favorite TV shows, movies, and video games. June's Loot Crate theme is now out, and it's called Toy Box. Return to an era where action figures were plentiful, towels doubled as capes, the floor was lava, and Saturday morning cartoons were serious business. Crack open our Toy Box and play around with some awesome pop culture gear. June's Loot Crate theme features items from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, The Legend of Zelda, and more. But if none of those franchises interest you, remember, you can go to Loot Crate and choose from a huge selection of other crates. You can also order a monthly subscription of crates that will arrive in your mailbox each month. Or you can just order individual items for whatever franchise you want. The best part about ordering from Loot Crate is when you check out, be sure to enter Daily Dose in the coupon box, and we will get you 10% off of your order, just as a thank you for listening to the Daily Dose.
So on a lot of Thursdays, we like to take a look around at the sports media world and see what silly things they might be saying. Because a lot of times they're saying things that are actually true, but a lot of other times they're saying things that they're just trying to get some interest. They're just trying to get you to click on it. They're just trying to get some attention for what they say. They don't even believe what they say, I don't think. I think some of it is just nonsense. They're just trying to generate a buzz. On Thursdays, we like to take a look at some of these brilliant hot takes and, well, mostly just point and laugh at them and say how silly they are. And with the NBA playoffs rolling along and we are now nearly at the NBA Finals, we have had a number of silly sports media overreactions. Let's take a look at some of the biggest ones that we've had this last week. Okay, there is actually a former quarterback on the NFL Network that said, I'm not making this up, you can look this up, that Joe Montana is not even a top 10 quarterback in the Super Bowl era. I wish I were joking about this. I really do. But you can look it up. I am not making this up. And yes, the guy who said this has taken a number of hits in his career. So maybe that's why this nonsense would come flying out of his mouth. He has no idea what he's saying. But basically, he said that Joe Montana played in the perfect quarterback-friendly system of Bill Walsh, and he was surrounded by a ton of talent. And I mean, when you look at Joe Montana, he wasn't exactly a physical specimen. He wasn't the biggest, strongest, fastest quarterback. It wasn't like Joe Montana had the kind of arm that he could just throw an 80-mile-an-hour heater through a hurricane. He just wasn't that guy. But when I hear this hot take, hey, I don't even think Joe Montana was a top 10 quarterback in the Super Bowl era, it makes me think, yeah, you never saw Joe Montana play. Like, you might have heard about Joe Montana. You might have saw like the highlight of the catch or something. But you never saw Joe Montana actually play. No, he wasn't this big guy. No, he didn't have a cannon for an arm. But is that the only measurement we use for a quarterback? Because if it is, then Jeff George is the greatest quarterback of all time. He was big. He was strong. He had a cannon for an arm. Yes, Jeff George and, I don't know, Jay Cutler are the greatest quarterbacks of all time because they had those measurables. But Joe Montana was such an accurate quarterback. And he played in that era where you could mug both he and his wide receivers. And while playing in that era, Joe Montana completed right around 65% of his passes. There are guys that can't do that now, when every single rule is tilted in their favor. And yes, Joe Montana was surrounded with talented guys. He had Jerry Rice. He had John Taylor. He had Roger Craig. Let's not forget, he also won a Super Bowl with Freddie Solomon and Wendell Tyler and Earl Cooper. And that was in San Francisco. Let's also not forget that when he was nearly 40 years old, he took the Kansas City Chiefs to the playoffs without Bill Walsh, without all that talent. He took it while throwing to guys named J.J. Burden and Willie Davis. Oh, and Joe Montana, yeah, he also has no idea what Tom Brady feels like when he loses Super Bowls, because Joe never lost the Super Bowl. He doesn't know what that even feels like. Has no clue. Name me the 9 other quarterbacks that you would put ahead of that guy. Because I'll be honest, I'm having a hard time coming up with 2 or even 3. Did Joe Montana have a ton of measurables? No, probably not. I bet he wouldn't have fared all that well at the modern day NFL Combine. But Joe Montana would have dominated the NFL in this era because you can't touch him now. He'd have been playing into his mid-50s. In this era where you can't touch him or his receivers, that would have been perfect for what Joe Montana did. Joe Montana, not top 10? Yeah, you haven't watched enough football. You need to go back and actually watch film. Not just the highlight stuff. Not just what your daddy told you about it. You need to go watch Joe Montana play because you clearly don't understand what's going on here. Switching over to the NBA, there are a number of hot takes this week about the NBA. And one of the big ones, I don't know, just kind of makes me laugh, is that the Los Angeles Lakers actually hired Jason Kidd to eventually get Giannis Antetokounmpo to come play for the Lakers. And I mean, I guess that makes some sense, right? Jason Kidd did coach Giannis back in Milwaukee, and they say they have a very good relationship. Plus, I think we all know that Frank Vogel, he's probably not going to last that long with the Lakers, right? I mean, just wait until he pulls Bron Bron for the first time for not picking up his man, and that's going to be the end of the Frank Vogel era. Which, by the way, we'll go over about as big as Magic Johnson's big speech on First Take the other day. But there is one major flaw in logic for this kind of goofy hot take. Giannis Antetokounmpo is under contract with the Milwaukee Bucks through the 2021 season. So let me see if I have this straight. The Lakers' plan was to have the Greek Freak continue to play for the Bucks for another 3 seasons. And then when LeBron is closing in on 40 years of age, and then Giannis, having played the first 10 years of his career in Milwaukee, he's going to switch and go to the Lakers? And what, team up with 40-year-old LeBron and maybe his son? Do these media people say these silly takes out loud to themselves before they say them in front of the microphone or in front of people? Because they should. Because when you hear some of these things out loud, you go, wait, the Lakers hired Jason Kidd to get Giannis? Oh, yeah, they know. Oh, wait a second. That doesn't make any sense whatsoever. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Moving on, we're not going to spend much time on that one because that really is a dumb take. Speaking of dumb takes, there is also a former NBA player this week. Pretty good player. I'm talking all-star. I'm talking almost dream team kind of player. And he says that the NBA has failed LeBron James. Really? The NBA has failed LeBron James. That's interesting. But he says LeBron has always had inexperienced coaches. And the teams that he goes to have tried to make so many things happen personnel-wise that they have overreached and stretched themselves too thin, leaving LeBron James with a below-average roster and an inexperienced coach on top of that. The Los Angeles Lakers mess is just another example of the NBA failing LeBron James. Hey, this is a smart guy that said that. This is a really, really good player. He understands the NBA. Interesting take. But let's dig into this silliness just a little bit. So LeBron has always had inexperienced coaches. Okay. Well, yeah, to a degree. So that is the reason that his teams have struggled at times, right? So LeBron is the first star to play for inexperienced coaches, right? I mean, I guess we shouldn't bring up Magic Johnson playing for first-time head coach Pat Riley. Let's not bring that up. Let's not bring up Michael Jordan playing for first-time head coach Phil Jackson. We won't talk about that. We won't talk about Tim Duncan and David Robinson playing for first-time head coach Greg Popovich because inexperienced coaches can't win is what we're being told, right? That's the same situation with LeBron. He hasn't played for good coaches because they're inexperienced. Yeah, that doesn't really make much sense. We'll just ignore those examples, okay? And I noticed that this former bad boy, yeah, kind of gives you another hint, didn't mention that LeBron has pushed back on every single coach he has ever had and that it was his choice to leave Cleveland to go to Miami where they hired young Eric Spoelstra, who, by the way, has turned out to be a pretty good coach. You also remember that LeBron butted heads with Eric Spoelstra. See, Eric Spoelstra could have been LeBron's Pat Riley, could have been LeBron's Phil Jackson, could have been LeBron's Greg Popovich. But he butted heads with Eric Spoelstra. That didn't work out. Then he went back to Cleveland where they had hired David Blatt to work with a depleted roster. They didn't know if he was coming back. Then he left Cleveland for Los Angeles. Hey, when you bounce around a lot, you can't always get everything that you want. Remember, you left Cleveland when they had Mike Brown. He had some experience. And then you left Miami when Spoelstra was actually starting to come into his own. And then we saw LeBron make a non-basketball decision to go join the Lakers. Because you can't tell me that had anything to do with basketball. That had everything to do with getting a show on HBO and filming Space Jam 2. The NBA hasn't failed LeBron James. In fact, you can make a pretty strong argument that LeBron has failed a number of franchises when you look back at the shape that he left those franchises in when he decided, I'm going to go somewhere else. This one isn't working out for me. I want to try something different. Yeah, I don't think that take holds up at all. Of course, the Golden State Warriors are headed back to the NBA Finals for the fifth straight year, and the sports media world is all over the Golden State Warriors. We had a number of hot takes coming out this week about the Golden State Warriors, and again, we are now back to this. It's kind of a pendulum that swings back and forth. The sports media world is now telling us that Steph Curry is the best player in the NBA once again. I mean, he wasn't just a few weeks ago. And the Golden State Warriors, once again, are the greatest NBA basketball team ever. No. You don't get to do this, sports media world. You don't get to keep flip-flopping here back and forth and back and forth. Because remember, just 3 weeks ago, we talked about it here on The Dose. The hot take was out there that Steph Curry, I mean, he was kind of a bum. He was so scared to death of playing with Kevin Durant. Now he knew the Warriors are actually Kevin Durant's team. They're not my team anymore. And Steph was playing with his knees all shaking. He was scared to death and he couldn't function one bit. But now that Kevin Durant is hurt, hey, Steph is getting the ball a lot more. He's producing, and suddenly the media likes Steph Curry again. And now they're telling us how underrated he is. Well, underrated by who? Underrated by you? The ones who were saying Steph was done and that Steph was scared to death to play with Kevin Durant? You're the only ones that overrated him. We didn't. Hey, no question, Steph Curry is playing at an insanely high level right now. And you could see it in both the Portland and the Houston series. Coming down the stretch, Steph Curry just wants the ball. He's been there before. He's going to get things done. That confidence that he has breeds the kind of success that he continues to have. But I've said it here on The Dose before. Steph is so dangerous because, yes, we all know he can shoot it. And he is one of the most insane shooters we have ever seen with that quick release and the range that he has. But he is also a good enough ball handler to drive as well. And he is such a good passer and a good distributor. Late in the game, yeah, you can just give the ball to Steph Curry and get out of the way. Let him make plays. But now the media is back on him and loving him again. You just told us he was a bum a few weeks ago. Stop it, sports media world. You can't trick us with this nonsense. And as far as the Warriors being the best team ever, I mean, I enjoy watching the Warriors as much as anyone, but I still struggle with their lack of depth. Yes, they're getting some big time efficiency from some guys off the bench that we've never heard of, but I still really, really struggle to put this Warriors team above the 80s Lakers, above the 80s Celtics, or above the 90s Bulls. There are a number of teams out there that would give Golden State problems, especially if you're playing with the 80s and 90s rules. Because if we're playing with the 80s and 90s rules, it's going to be really, really tough for these guys. Because you can't just waltz through the paint without getting your head taken off. That would be an adjustment for these guys. And on the other side, those teams from the 80s and 90s, they'd be looking at the rules today saying, oh, wait a second, they can't touch me? You can't touch Michael Jordan? I can't hand check you and knock you down in the key if I do? It's a flagrant one or a two? Yeah, the Golden State Warriors are very, very good. I can't quite put them above every other team that's ever taken place, though. Finally, while staying with those same flip-flopping media people and staying with the Golden State Warriors, we are hearing one of two takes, and they can't quite decide which one it is, but we are hearing on one side of the media world that the Golden State Warriors cannot win the title without Kevin Durant. We have heard a number of people say that. A couple of people come out specifically and said, hey, if Durant doesn't come back for the finals, it's going to be very, very different. They can't win it all without Kevin Durant. And then we've heard another group of media people say, actually, the Golden State Warriors are a better team without Kevin Durant. They're going to roll through the finals. It's going to be easy for them. They are a better team without Kevin Durant. They're just better. Watch how they play. Now, let's address the first one first. I love the people that say the Warriors can't win it all without Kevin Durant. Because it's kind of like saying, you know, a quarterback can never win 4 Super Bowls without losing at least one, right? That would be impossible. Yet, you do realize this has already happened before, right? I mean, the Golden State Warriors have already won a title without Kevin Durant. Everybody knows that, right? We didn't all just forget that. Golden State has already won a title without Kevin Durant. They can do it again. Let's not get that twisted at all. So let's just eliminate that nonsense from this whole conversation. But then, like I said, we also have the hot take that the Warriors are actually better without Kevin Durant. Now, I'll listen to this a little bit. The Warriors lost Kevin Durant to that calf injury back in Game 5 against the Houston Rockets in the second round of the playoffs. Since then, Golden State closed out the Rockets in Game 6, and then they rolled off 4 straight wins against Portland to sweep them out of the playoffs. Portland led the series more than Golden State did, and Golden State won all 4 games. So are the Warriors actually better without KD in the lineup? Now, you know who I'd like to ask that? I would like to ask their opponents how they feel. I really would. I would like to ask Houston. So which would you rather see? The Warriors with KD or without KD? Because I have a feeling they would probably say, we don't want to see Kevin Durant on the floor ever. If we were to ask Portland, which would you rather see? The Golden State Warriors that you saw in that 4-game sweep, or would you rather see Kevin Durant on the floor? I imagine they'd say, we don't want anything to do with Kevin Durant. We don't have anyone that can guard Kevin Durant. We don't know how to defend Kevin Durant. So I don't think they would pick that. I think they would say, no, we'll take our chances without him on the floor. So there's that. But I do think the Warriors are definitely different without Kevin Durant on the floor. For one, they have way more movement without KD out there. You know, with this lineup that's out there, without KD on the floor, they actually aren't talented enough just to stand out, spread, and go iso ball and play one-on-one. They can't do that nearly as much because the only one who can consistently beat his man off the dribble is Steph Curry. When Kevin Durant comes back in, they can play a little more of that iso stuff because KD can get his shot off whenever he wants to. So there is definitely more movement without Durant on the floor. But you know what I think the biggest difference is with and without Kevin Durant for the Golden State Warriors? And the biggest thing we have seen in these last 5 games without Durant on the floor for the Warriors? I think we have seen a more focused Golden State Warriors team for whatever reason. And I don't know what that reason is. Maybe they want to prove they can do it. Maybe they don't like Kevin Durant. I have no idea what the chemistry is in that locker room. Maybe they just want to prove everyone wrong that they can't win it without him. But you can see the Golden State Warriors are so much more focused. And that boredom and that apathy that we have seen all season seems to be gone. And all season, that was the part about the Golden State Warriors that has concerned me. They didn't look that interested. They looked completely bored out there with KD in the lineup. So are the Warriors better? No, not necessarily. But they do look like they're more focused, and that does make them a completely different team. Can they win the NBA title without him on the floor? Yeah, without question. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And when I watch the Eastern Conference Finals, it just convinces me even more. Yeah, it might go 5 or 6 games, but I think the Golden State Warriors are going to win it. Are they probably still going to win it if KD comes back? Yeah, barring something crazy happening, because they're still the most talented team out there. And now they've even got a few bench players to play some quality minutes and give them maybe a little bit more of a lift when they do need to have a little more depth. But the interest level, the focus, the determination we have seen in the Golden State Warriors the last few weeks, yeah, it just makes me think once again, everyone in the NBA is playing for second place. Hey, tomorrow on the show, we will of course be recapping the biggest stories in the world of sports, and then we will be previewing a holiday weekend. Yes, it is Memorial Day weekend. We are going to have a few things for you to watch this weekend. Plus, we will have a Daily Dose Top 5 for you. You know you have to tune in for that. Hey, I have to say thank you all so much for listening to the Daily Dose. Thank you for the feedback. Thank you for the questions and the suggestions. More than anything, thank you so much for sharing the show. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all tomorrow. Have a great Thursday.